Welcome.
All are welcome and gathered here to worship God in Jesus. May we each experience the warmth and love of Jesus our Lord. May we be able to be present in the presence of God. Breathe in the breath of God's Spirit. Breathe out the burdens of the world. May you be open to allow Jesus to give you what you need to flourish in your faith this morning and in every day of your life. Jesus is here among us now. Seek to grow closer through prayers and the Word of God and the holy meal and the sacred music. Jesus says, welcome. If you will take out your bulletin and look on the back and be curious about what you might discover there, fellowship and mission and ministry, so that you can be a part of our faith family and always, all are welcome to participate. We shared a breakfast for the elders this morning, and I hope that you are aware of who your spiritual leaders are in this place we call sanctuary and home, and that you will seek them out through the year should you need any prayers or spiritual guidance, and they would be welcoming of that. Tomorrow, April 11th, Sisters in Christ will meet at 6:30 in Fellowship Hall. There will be no Bible study at 7 p.m. because most of the people in Sisters in Christ are in Bible study, so they always postpone that with that. Community dinners on Wednesday continue on, and they're serving over 30 meals a week. And when you think that the first week they served under 10, I think, it's an extraordinary mission that we are doing to feed body, mind, and spirit. Trailblazers continue to walk and be healthy, even in the rain. They're posting this on Facebook, if you have Facebook, to make us pay attention. And know that they're out there in the cold and the rain, and they would welcome you to be a part of them. Many thanks. I must tell you that I think about this. You know, it's one of those things you think about at 2 a.m. in the morning, and you think, oh, I'll do that, and then I didn't do it. This work of art, this tomb that is open, that gives us this visual, this wonderful visual, like we have a nativity at Christmas time. Janie Lair made that for us. I asked her to do something like that, and this is what she created. I want you to know how much of an art, a creative piece of art it is. The first tomb I ever made, I made it from River Rock and put it in that packing tape. It was awful. It was awful. The children laughed more than they were into the story. Friday, April 15th is the beginning of Youth Spring Assembly. Dana, do we have many children going to that?
I don't have any. Nobody's approached me, but if you are interested, let me know.
Okay, all right.
We had a good time last year.
Okay, all right. I want to extend congratulations to Sydney Ladd and Addie Mudd for making it into Heritage Singers, which is show choir at Franklin High School. And Addie made soprano, and Sydney will be singing with the altos. And Mama and all are very proud of them, and we are too. And so we give you a heads up. Addie's not here, but we will extend that to her after this. Allie, do you have anything for us?
The middle school and high school youth can come with me downstairs for lesson 4.
Okay, all right. Anyone else? Oh, I think the youth can probably hear without the microphone. It's the rest of us that need that. You have someone else? Oh, yes, Janie.
Just wanted to announce that we're having a second Sunday fellowship after the service. So Jeannie, Adney, and I, and a few others are working with putting that on.
Which means there's an extraordinary amount of food and cookies. So you might want to attend. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Dave.
Just want to remind everybody, welcome out of my shoes on April the 30th. We understand the weather will be perfect this year, not like last year. If you are interested in walking, there are sign-up sheets on the bulletin board in the back hallway. If you'd like to sponsor someone and not walk, sponsor one of our youth or someone else, you can do the same thing. If you have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
I have a question. If they are unable or do not sponsor, can they just contribute to the cause?
Absolutely.
Okay.
$100 bills,
kick it.
And anything below that. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any others? Okay. Let's stand for our call to worship.
Good morning. Just a reminder, please sign the attendance pad and pass it on to your neighbors. Please join me with call to worship. I will rejoice in you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up.
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, this faithful one, and give thanks to his holy name.
Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
So that my soul may praise you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Correction, the number, the opening hymn is number 464, God of Grace and God of Glory. And sisters in Christ. Hello, Mr. Self. How you be? Did you sleep?
I did. Very well.
Good. I'm glad.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll hug you again. I'll hug you again. Good morning.
Pleasure.
Good morning. Nice to be here. You're in my sermon. Do you want me to sit with the children? Good morning. Good morning. Good to hug you.
from Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel from Cana in Galilee, and brothers Zebedee and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We are going with you." They went out and got onto the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they did not recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they were not strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came by boat, for they weren't far from land, and 100 yards or so, pulling along the full net of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring up some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter joined and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish. And even with all of those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus has shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead.
Good morning. Wow, that's loud. Good morning, young saints. As we are still celebrating the beauty of Jesus' resurrection, our scripture today relives another special appearance by our Lord Jesus in his new glorified body. This time the disciples have been fishing all night and have caught no fish. Very early in the morning, Jesus appears on the shore, but the disciples didn't notice him. Jesus wants to get their attention, but instead of just yelling out, "Hey guys, it's me, Jesus, why don't you come on over?" he decides rather to make a grand entrance by showing the same miracle he used to convince them to join him the first time they met. Do you remember that? Remember the first time Jesus met Peter and the fishermen? And he asked them if they caught anything and they hadn't. What did he tell them to do? Remember? He said to throw their nets over on the right side of the boat. And they did it. And they caught so many fish they couldn't pull the nets in. They thought they were going to break. Well, when this happened, it started a very special moment of excitement for the disciples. Even though they had worked all night long and are tired and sleepy and hungry, all that has been forgotten. Now they focus only on their joy as they race to the shore to see their Lord Jesus. And when they arrive at the shore, they are treated to the abundance of the things that God promises everyone who will follow him in faith. First, there was already a hot meal prepared for them. Jesus had built a fire of hot coals and had fish and bread prepared. And this shows God's provision in how he provides for our needs. Next, they had a chance to relax on the ground by the warming fire. This shows how God gives us rest from our hard work. As Jesus once said, "Follow me and I will give you rest." Third, they had a chance to enjoy fellowship with Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of all that is and all that ever will be. This shows how God fulfills our need for friendship and love. And also, as Jesus visits with them, he instructs them to continue on in their work of spreading the gospel for the kingdom of God. Not difficult and inconvenient work, though, but more of a favor to a good friend that you enjoy fulfilling. This shows how God gives us a purpose and the talents and encouragement to succeed. And even though it's been thousands of years since Jesus satisfied the needs of his disciples that day, he still knows how to perfectly care for us today and forever. So let's bow our heads and pray. Praise you, Lord God, and thank you for your love, care, and support that gets us through this day, through our lives here on earth, and our presence with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. We prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer. We share our joys so that they might be multiplied among us. We share our concerns, our worries, our sorrow among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they may be divided and the burden lightened and lighter to carry. We lift up the Parrish and Lori Gross family. Parrish passed on, returned home to God on March 30th. And we ask continued prayer for Peyton, their daughter, Lois, his mother-in-law, and Jim is here this morning, brother-in-law, and many other loving friends and work colleagues and doctors and nurses who came in astounding numbers yesterday to pay tribute to him in his celebration of life and just to surround the family with love and support. And so we lift you up in prayer, and we lift you up, and we'll continue to do so as you walk this time of grieving. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up the Caleb Buck family for their broken hearts in mourning. Caleb was a senior at Franklin High School, returned home to God this last Friday morning. We have prayed for him for quite some time. He'd battled brain cancer for a long time. And so we lift his family, his parents, his grandparents, and all who knew and love him, even teachers and coaches and administration, people that came into contact with him who will mourn his the missing of him there. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for all who protect our safety, for all who take care of our homebound and the women and men who serve our country in the military. And we lift them up to the Lord and we pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there others that you would lift up in prayer? Okay. Sure. Cindy asks us to pray for her daughter, Olivia, who struggles with mental health issues, had a bad night Friday night, and we lift her and you and your family up in our prayers, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Cindy. Anyone else? Yes.
Her name is Helen Claire, 7 pounds and 7 ounces, and I know we all join in celebrating.
Fresh from God, and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. Thank you, Jeannie. Anyone else? All right. Let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Bow those heads into our hearts, for that is where we need to be when we pray to God. Jesus, among us now, we come to worship and adore you. We come to seek the blessing of your known presence. We seek and ask for restoring of our souls. May today we find you in the midst of our sanctuary, in the center of each heart. And with that finding, precious Lord, may we be true and confess our cynicism, our fear, our doubts, even some post-resurrection blues. And may you, merciful God, wrap our faith with your forgiveness, born out of your infinite love and compassion and mercy. Holy Spirit, pour down upon us now, we pray. In this time of worship, we need you. So that much that we as a community, a church, a congregation, we desire to flourish and hope and grow in the ministries you, ever faithful God, call us to in each ordinary day. And may we rejoice from the nourishment of your holy meal in ways of service, in ways of teaching, in our excitement of who you are in our lives. To each generation, long-lived and young alike, may they know us and then know you and how much we love you. Lord God, be with the vulnerable who are abused, neglected, misused, and treated in ways that scorn their dignity and in ways that you never intended. If by our lives your grace be known, then in us and through us, let your kingdom come. And may we all never forget who we serve, in whose name redemptive acts are done. And may we be more concerned about what is loving and kind than what is popular and seen and perfect. Spirit of the living God, present with us now, enter each one, body, mind, and spirit, and heal us of all that harms others and ourselves and breaks your heart. Look, Lord, on your children who love your name and need your care. We leave with you, precious and holy Jesus, all that hurt you in our actions, words, and deeds, and humbly ask for your forgiveness. Lord, say the word, and we shall be healed. Now may your hope and joy fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Believing that we are forgiven, that we may abound in hope in the power of the Spirit of you, our God. And may we, in genuine way, pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord has revealed his love and spirit to us. Let us reveal our love and spirit in the giving of our tithes and offerings for the work of his people, for his will and purpose for us all.
Today we present three very short pieces in German by Franz Schubert from the Dichterliebe, which means poet's love. So it follows the journey of a love of a poet, and these three have to do with spring. So we thought we'd sing us into spring because the weather seems to be a little bit resistant.
Als Alpenlohn dich lieb hast, Kindchen, schenk ich dir die Blumen ab. Und vor deinem Fenster soll klingen das Lied dir Die Rose, die Lilie, die Taube, die Sonne, die liebt dich als allein liebes Wohn. Ich lieb sie nicht mehr, ich liebe alleine die Kleine, die Feine, die Reine, die Ein. Sie selber alle liebe Wohn, ist Rose und Lilie und Taube und Sonne. Ich liebe alleine die Kleine, die Feine, die Reine, die Ein, die Ein.
Father, as we see the grass greening and the trees and the flowers starting to come to life, help us grow in our faith as we become new with the changing of each season. Bless the farmers as they will soon begin the planting season. Please bless these gifts and their givers. Please help us use these gifts to further your kingdom here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Walking.
Well, thank you, precious and holy. And you can't do that sort of thing before I'm going to preach. That was absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Touched my heart deeply, my soul. Take a big, deep breath. And let everything out. Send it outside, anything that burdens your heart, distracts you from Jesus. Take a big, deep breath of God and let it all out. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and holy God, you spoke your words through this sacred music. Now I ask humbly that you speak through these words and give us a message and help us to continue to seek and to know Jesus Christ. May these words not be of human origin. May the message be yours and not mine. Thank you for those who listen to hear your voice and to walk a closer walk with thee. It is in the sweet name of Jesus that I ask and pray these things. Amen. Our scripture for this morning begins with a word. Do you remember what it was? After. After. Isn't that an intriguing word that you just want to say after? What are we going to do now? And so I think that when a word as profound as after starts the story out, we just have to wait around to see what will happen after. John explained that the story has not ended. Jesus Christ formed and commissioned and empowered the church. All the churches in the world. The church continues, is to continue to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Jesus does not let his followers wallow in failure. He forgave Peter, and he forgives us. We go back now to the sea and the shore that is in our text this morning. Sit back and see in your mind's eye the Sea of Galilee. Can you smell the fish? Can you feel the humidity? Catch any fish? Peter and John look up, thinking that the question is probably from a local villager. No, they yell back to the shore. Try the other side, the voice yells back. John looks at Peter and thinks, what's the harm? So out the sails the net. Peter wraps the rope around his wrist and waits. He's so intent on the task, he misses the message. John doesn't. This moment is a deja vu moment for him. He lifts his eyes to the man on the shore. It's him, he whispers. then louder, "It's Jesus." Then shouting, "It's the Lord, Peter, it's the Lord." Peter turns quickly and looks. Jesus has come back. This is what we wanted. This is what we needed. Jesus, the victor over darkness. Jesus, the God of heaven and earth, is there on the shore. Peter, impulsive as ever, plunges into the water, swims to the shore, and stumbles out wet and shivering and stands in front of his friend whom he betrayed. For one of the few times in the life of Peter, he is silent. What words would suffice? The moment is too holy for words. What do you say in a moment such as this? You might consider doing what Peter did, stand in God's presence, stand in his sight, stand still, and wait. Sometimes that's all a soul can do. So stay there with Peter in the presence of God while we discover the message. Peter is not pictured as a slacker. Fishing for him is not a vacation. It's not a leisure thing to get away. It's an occupation. He is not avoiding life. He is going about his business. Yet there's a missing piece in his heart. He's sad. He has post-resurrection blues. So blessed Jesus appears and brings back all into proper focus. With the presence of Jesus, the catch becomes superabundant. Now, many times this story is told from an evangelism point of view. Today, I share it as a focus on the spiritual life of the community on discipleship. Fishing here actually being a symbol for the spiritual life of the church. First, Jesus' disciples seem to drift aimlessly, accomplishing little and with very sour moods. And you might say, captured in a post-resurrection blues. But in the presence of Jesus, they have superabundance in spiritual power. Almost every congregation, no matter the size, will be packed on Easter Sunday. And then, after comes. We build up and build up and build up. How do you follow resurrection? But for Christians, every Sunday is Easter. But we forget. And so did they. So this is to remind us that when the church connects with the power of the risen Christ, we have access to the power beyond human measure. But we sometimes, or maybe often, are distracted by the world in which we live, and it breaks our connection with Christ. So many of us today experience this sensory, spiritual, emotional, mental overload. We watch TV and there's graphic violence in movies and the news and the internet. Each commercial glaringly booms out sound several decibels above the program that you are watching. We might just wonder about the living of our days and how much of this visual and audio noise pierces our soul, the human spirit. That requires ever-increasing shock and drama and loud experiences so they can reach us, so we'll buy their things. Steve and I were driving along in the last couple of days, and we went by Chick-fil-A on 135, and it was packed. There were so many cars, no parking spots. He said, "What's going on with Chick-fil-A?" I was looking at my Facebook, and Chick-fil-A comes up. And it says, if you go to Chick-fil-A and you don't have social media, in your meal, if you just sit there and look at each other and eat, they will give you a free ice cream cone. Sound like a win-win situation, doesn't it? Ice cream appeals to young and old alike, right? So anyway, I thought, what a great thing. What a great thing. When our children, our grandchildren, come to our home for a meal, they must put their cell phones away, and that includes us. And so we are a world with all sorts of distractions, and there's nothing wrong with technology. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. And I probably wouldn't have said that 5 or 10 years ago. But we pray for Psalm 139, 7. We pray that it will become real for us. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? So we pray, be present, O Lord, so that our spirit is nourished and restored and flourished. Can you see those disciples in the comforting presence of Jesus at this breakfast, spending precious time praying and resting their minds into his heart, quietly calling each one of us into the presence of God, being all in and absorbing his healing? Now, they didn't have cell phones, but I bet they had other distractions. And Jesus has come in to this setting where they have no spirit, no passion for what they once did, but they're not out there doing what they'd done with Jesus. Can you imagine the seminary training that they had? Walking with Jesus every step of the way, watching everything, hearing everything, experiencing everything, his miracles and his healings. We couldn't ever receive that in seminary, not in the same way. But yet, when Jesus goes away from them physically, they go back to lives, and it's worse. It's worse. They've been in the presence of the divine, and here they are. And in what way do we respond to his nearness? Are we like Peter, who jumps towards Jesus and greets him with his all? Or are we like John, who recognizes him, calmly ponders, and then understands? As persons of faith, we need to be part of John, part of Peter, part of Mary, part of Martha, to be whole in faith in Jesus. Jesus the Christ, our Lord. John is the one that recognizes Jesus, but Peter is the one that goes to him first. Peter denied him 3 times, but Peter does not allow his shame to stop him from moving toward the one he loves. Peter does not hide any longer in shame, but leaps toward the risen one in joyful, loving recognition. How many of you have ever heard someone saying, I better not go to church, the ceiling will fall in on me? Well, that's this. There's shame. There's something that holds them back. And Jesus says, you don't have to have that shame. I love you no matter what. Shame shuts us down as a person and closes us off to growth and those liberating moments of grace that are offered from Christ. When we respond to God's call and claim on our lives, it breaks us free of the guilt to leap forward in hope, healing, and wholeness. In the end, the risen Lord offers to Peter and to us another way to identify and experience the divine in our daily, ordinary ways. He says 3 times, feed my sheep. This is a direction for redemptive acts. Redemptive acts of loving are by reaching out and in spiritual, physical feeding of the hungry, and by tending to those that are in need. We are fed. That's why when I talked about the bulletin and you look on the back and you interact with others who have those same kinds of love, that same kind of love, we are fed. Redemptive acts. A woman once told me she wasn't very close to her daughter. And they had had a troubled relationship since she was a child. But she was so good with children and teens in the church. And we talked about that, and she said, "This is my redemptive act. I can't go back to this, but I can help children forward and teens." We each need to look for our redemptive act. Here we meet God and encounter his love for us and for all. Our hope is beyond Peter's denials. It lives in the grace of Christ. The grace is the divine willingness to engage and entrust a ministry even to someone whose life so far had been marked by being impulsive and denying his Lord. He did that with Peter, and he will do that with us. We are called to consistently and ever so often to rest on the everlasting arms of God, laying our head on the heart of Jesus to pray, to sharpen our spiritual eyesight, to be able to recognize the nurturing Jesus presence, even in the routine and the mundane things of our jam-packed lives. In this text, there is an appeal to not reduce Christ and his miracles of his ministry to a story of the past, deserting the gospel in a time and place long ago and far away. God is ever, and his word is vital and alive now and forevermore. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We have darkness in us from our hungers not fed, darkness in our failures to recognize Christ, darkness of our denial. But remember, beloved of God, the darkness does not overcome the light of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ still calls, still feeds, still empowers us for ministry, even when we doubt or deny in our weakest, darkest hour. The food is Holy Communion. The meal is a banquet in God's kingdom. The food we eat is gathered from our own labor and is given by God and used by God through us for good news of love and forgiveness to the nations. When Peter and the disciples came ashore that morning, Jesus had prepared a fire and was cooking them breakfast. Now, I want you to get that vision in your head. I want you to think about next morning, tomorrow morning, and somebody knocks on your door and says, "Out here in the backyard, I have built a fire, and I am making you fish for breakfast. But come on out. Oh, by the way, you probably didn't recognize me. I'm Jesus Christ. Nice to meet you." Now, it says they relaxed and they had this meal. I'm not sure I could relax. I'd want to help. I'd want to do something. Is he going to give me that? No, I don't want you to do that. But he did. He had them go and get fish. Fish that they had caught. It says to me, he needs something of each one of us because we are unique. So we bring what we are and he adds what he is. And together, we go out and we love each other. The Lord provided, blessed, cooked, and served a bountiful banquet. Now that the resurrection is over, what is our community going to do? Are we in 2016 going to be sad and let down from the excitement of Easter? Are we going to live in a place of post-resurrection blues? The risen Christ charges us to go back to the task of being children of the light in a world that is dark. I don't know that I can say these words, but I'm going to try. This child of the light, is named Lori Gross. I met her only 2 months ago, and I feel like she's one of my dearest friends. Part of that is the experience of Christ that I felt when I was with her and her family. They didn't leave Parrish's bedside. They supported one another. But more importantly, Lori could be experiencing something so horrific in the room and come out after no sleep and little to eat And someone who had a family member down the way would come and sit down, and she would tend them with her broken heart. She would mend them. The presence of Jesus was there. When her brother and her uncle and all, and when Lois was there, when they were all gathered around, there was a presence. And that, my friends, is Jesus Christ in the world. Even when your heart is broken, even when your world is turned upside down and hard, you can still be decent and kind and draw people in with your kindness. That's what this scripture is for me. You take a little bit of who you are, you take a lot of Christ, and you reach out. And you say, come be a part of us. Do you know how hard I think it is for families who are going through such private things to invite a stranger into their midst? They not only did it with me, they did it with people they'd never met. And the doctors and nurses love them still. Now, they took them candy, I just want to say. But it was more than that. And so they came here yesterday to pay tribute to the family and to Parrish. And so that's our journey, our faith journey. Jesus is with you now, asking, close your eyes, close your eyes. Hear Jesus' voice say, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Whether you give an honest answer of no, or give me a bit more time, or a resounding yes, Jesus wants to share his gifts of nourishment and life with you, for you to go and share it with others. He wants us to care for others with nothing less than his own love. Too repentant to speak, but too hopeful to leave, then stand in his presence and be silent and receive his spirit into your soul so you can go about your ordinary days in the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've experienced the urging of the Spirit of God in this worship of God and feel urged to come forward to unite with this faith family who opens their arms and their hearts wide and says, come, we will wait and we will sing hymn number 490, an invitation hymn, verses 1, 3, and 5. And then if someone comes forward, we'll sit down and we will receive them into the fold. Number 490. Sorry.
Please stand. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
What a joy. What a joy. I received an email, and they have discerned this. They prayed about this, received an email, and then I just went sort of, you know, extreme, super abundant. And they jokingly said to me, could you be a little more enthusiastic about receiving us into the church? But that is where we are. So I'm going to ask you each one question. And then after worship, please, if you'll go over here into the chapel area, and if you can just scoot by and welcome them into the church, it would be much appreciated. So, Anne, I ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is your personal Lord and Savior and Lord and Savior of the world? All right. We welcome you with open hearts and open minds. Debbie, I ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is your personal Lord and Savior and Lord and Savior of the world?
I do.
And John, I ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is your personal Lord and Savior, and Lord and Savior of the world?
I do.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so pleased to have you be a part of us, and we are just so pleased that there are no words to express it adequately. So we will continue on in our worship of God, and please come and visit them afterwards. Okay. Yes, by all means. Thank you very much. Let's say a word of prayer, just brief. Oh, Holy Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for people who come down that long aisle and like Peter, just jump into our midst. And we also thank you that they were pondering until they had an understanding about the way in which we worship you. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing them into the fold. And may we take good care of one another and walk this journey with Christ. It is in the sweet name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Okay, God is here. Make yourself at home. Come and stay a while. Take a moment from your busy, hectic, Facebook, texting, iPhone, iPad, clogged lives and pause. Breathe here at the foot of the cross. Wait, wait for the moment and take the chance to sense him in whose presence we find ourselves right now. Life is a journey. And we must be fed and prepared and sorted out. And this is the table to do that at. Come, share the quiet peace and the love and the forgiveness. Jesus is the one who says all are welcome. Jesus is the one who willingly laid down his life for each one of us. And so now we prepare our souls to receive the cup of mercy and the bread of life. Let us sing to do that. Holy Communion hymn number 576, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Thank you.
Eternal God, we come humbly to your table with grateful hearts for all we are and for all you have provided. We come to remember Jesus' life and ultimate sacrifice for us. We come to celebrate his resurrection. As we take this bread symbolizing Christ's body, let us remember he lives. He lives through us, his disciples. May we reflect his light and serve with joyful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you continue this moment at the table, hear our prayers. For the privilege of receiving this cup of blessing today, we give our thanks. We come asking forgiveness for our many shortcomings and our sins. Help us to remember that Jesus died so we might be forgiven and redeemed. Be present in our midst, God, so that we might be guided by your Holy Spirit. Instill within us a new determination to live more fully the Christian way. As we stand together, as we stand as one, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
on the night. Not before, not after, but on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He gathered his disciples together. He took the bread. He gave thanks for it. He broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. We will close with a hymn and then blessing, if you will allow that.
Whoa.
I'm just full of the Holy Spirit this morning, aren't I? I'm full, all right. I did want to acknowledge, you are all dear to me. It's sort of like Parrish. Parrish had many best friends. You're all my best friend. But I want to acknowledge one who's dear to me. His name is Gene Huffman. He's sitting in the back. He is Mike's dad, and he's very precious to me. He reminds me spiritually of someone in my family, and I don't know who it is, but I think that that's, you know how you have certain characteristics? But anyway, he's quite precious, and he's here this morning, and I hope he comes back. And so if you'll stand, we will sing hymn number 558, "Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us," and then I will bless you out into the world. If you'll bow your heads into your hearts, I will bless you out of here. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the boldness of the Spirit of God transform you. May the gentleness of the Spirit of God lead you. Be fed by redemptive acts of love, kindness, and forgiveness of self and others. May you look for and recognize our Lord among us. May you know that even when you feel totally worthless, God holds you priceless and precious. May the gifts of Jesus equip you to proclaim to those you meet every day the unchanging love and spirit of Christ our Lord. Go, knowing you are well loved. Go in peace. Amen.